It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Today on It's a Good Life, we continue our study in the book of Romans. Now, last time we looked at Romans chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and it says there, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And now we pick up with verse 3, where Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says in verse 3, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Well, what is the gospel all about? It says there, as we've read, declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness. Now, the gospel concerns God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, according to verse 3, and the gospel is a Christ-centered gospel. There is no other gospel apart from that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1 and verse 9 says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. So, the gospel is the gospel of the Son of God. And apart from the person and work of Christ, there is no gospel. The Bible bears this out in mentions this in several areas. It's listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, and it says there, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Any preaching that is not Christ-centered is not true gospel preaching. The true gospel is a Christ-centered gospel, and God gives very strong warnings, and we see this in the Scriptures once again, very strong warnings concerning those who preach any other gospel. And Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 through 9 speaks of that. When we think of the person of Christ, we should think especially of two things. First of all, his humanity. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now, he was made flesh. And John chapter 1 and verse 14 talks about that. And it says, he was made flesh and dwelt among us. And he was made flesh of the seed of David according to the word of God. And Christ was in the kingly line, a descendant of David. Well, why did God become a man? Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9 helps us with this question. It says there, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Well, Jesus came into this world to seek and to save those who were lost, according to the Scriptures. He came into this world to seek and to save me, a person who was lost on his way to hell. Jesus died for me, and for me to accept that meant that I would no longer be destined for hell. When I accepted that, if I would refuse that, then I would go to hell. But I chose Jesus Christ, the only way to heaven. And I pray that you have done the same thing. Today, if you have not, may you bow your heart right now where you are and say, Lord Jesus, I know you died for me. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Come into my innermost being. And as much as I know how, Lord, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ died for each person in this world. And first, they must know that they're lost and on their way to a devil's hell. And this is what Paul is trying to get across to mankind. And as he wrote this to the book in the book of Romans, to the Romans. And we have that account today as we read the book of Romans. Remember, the Bible is God-breathed. Paul wrote this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. and what is in the book, the Bible, and that is the King James Bible, our Bible for today, what is written there is God-breathed. It comes directly from God. Once again, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death." Can you imagine? The one who created everything made a little lower than the angels. He came to suffer death, and it goes on to say, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man, by the grace of God the Father. Well, we see his humanity, and we also see Christ's deity. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, "And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead." He became a man, but he never ceased being God. And the term Son of God points to the full deity of Christ. This is how the Jews of the first century understood the term. And in John chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, it says, "But Jesus answered them, 'My Father worketh hitherto, and I work.' Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." Well, this infuriated the Jews when Christ said this, because he was making himself equal with God. How could he do that? I'll tell you how he could do it, because he was God. He is God. The Jews were baffled by our Lord's question in Matthew chapter 22, verses 45 and 46, which is simply this: "How can David's son also be David's Lord?" Well, Paul answers this question in Romans chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. In his humanity, according to the flesh, he is the son of David. And in Romans chapter 1 and verse 3, in his deity, he is the son of God. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, we see that he is the son of God. And thus, he is David's Lord. Well, his resurrection was the final proof that he was everything that he claimed to be. He did not become God at the incarnation or at his birth, nor did he become the son. The incarnation was the point at which God's eternal Son assumed our humanity without ceasing to be God. And the Son of God became the Son of Man, that we, the sons of men, might become the sons of God. And John chapter 1 and verse 12 speaks of this, as well as Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. We see also that Christ in these verses is declared to be the Son of God. How? By the resurrection. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4 speaks of that, and the resurrection was the final proof that Jesus Christ was everything he claimed to be. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4 once again says, "And declared to be the Son of God, with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead." And we read in Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 and 39, "Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, 'Master, we would see a sign from thee.' But he answered and said unto them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas.'" May I add this, that people, they're looking for signs. And just as Jesus told these people who were trying to trick him and trying to confuse him — of course, they couldn't confuse him. He's God. He's the Son of God. And there's people today who are looking for signs instead of looking for the Savior. Jesus said, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign." And this proves once again that man is sinful. Well, Jesus, once again, he said, "There's not going to be a sign given to you except but the sign of the prophet Jonas," or Jonah. Well, what was that sign? Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of that great fish. And Jesus said, "You're not going to receive any other sign other than that representation," in other words, that Jonah was in the belly of that fish for 3 days and three nights. Well, what was he speaking of? He was speaking of his death. He was speaking of the fact that he would go to the grave and he would be there 3 days and three nights. And then he would rise from the dead, just as Jonah came out of that great fish, or whatever you want to call that thing that swallowed Jonah as he was disobeying God. And of course, Christ did not disobey the Father. He went to the grave and he did rise on that third day. Well, Jesus said, "You're looking for a sign." And once again, so many people today are looking for signs and wonders, but there is no sign or wonder going to be given them except one of two things. The first thing that a lot of people see today are the things that the devil has placed there. It's a sign from the devil. It's been placed there to give them a false idea of what salvation really is. They seem to have the idea that salvation is a good feeling or doing something in order to gain salvation. But Jesus said, that's not the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. And no sign or wonder is going to be performed other than that of the death, burial, and resurrection of me, what Jesus is saying, the Son of God. No, you're not going to receive anything else. And that's what he's speaking of. No sign is going to be given other than that. I have been buried, and I am resurrected. And I came out of the grave, the resurrection of the dead, by the power of God. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, once again, talks about power. In the Old Testament, whenever God wanted to point out his great power, he pointed to the miracle of the crossing of the Red Sea. And you see that in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy and Exodus and 2 Kings. And we do not find this in the New Testament. Today, when God wants to point out his mighty power, he draws our attention to the resurrection, the empty tomb. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20 speaks of this, and also Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. When God wants us to see his love, he points us to the cross. Of course, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Well, we see that it's by the power of God that anyone is saved today or that any other time. And Romans chapter 1 and verse 5 says this. It says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Of course, Paul's speaking of himself here as well and the other apostles. Well, to whom should the gospel be preached? Paul's answer to this is in verse 5, and it is to all nations. Mark chapter 15 and Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, and Luke chapter 24 and verse 47 talks about going into the world and reaching the world. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 tells us, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall receive be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Jesus Christ has given us power today to do what he wants us to do, and he wants us to go forth as saved people, proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming him, proclaiming the way to heaven. If you've never been saved, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you need to do that today. There's no excuse. God has sent his Son to die for you, and he's given us the power to become the sons of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Eternal life is a gift of God, and God offers that to each one of us. Thank God I received that gift, and you need to receive the gift of God, and that is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Bow your head and ask Jesus to save you right now.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.